Welcome to the 5 Series, a series for teens and college students with the objective of reflecting over the 5 pillars of Islam in a really beautiful and concise manner and answering questions that we all have about our faith. To continue efforts like this, visit rootsdfw.org/sustainyouth and help us create more content just like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. So we are now, alhamdulillah, really, really pleased and honored to be able to bring to you the 4th episode of the 5 series here at Roots, aimed towards young Muslims who are trying to learn a little bit more about their faith, learn a little bit more about their foundations, perfect the foundations, and be able to really build this deep understanding and reflective understanding of their, you know, of our religion in a way that allows our worship to actually be that much more better in terms of quality. And it's actually really, really poetic that I mentioned the term quality here today, because our conversation today is going to be focused, if you guys saw the Instagram story that we posted today, it's all going to be about the idea of quality over quantity. And this is so important because in a world in which we live, where oftentimes quantity is something that is really put under the magnifying glass, more so than quality is, it's up to us as Muslims to really redirect and re-navigate our compass towards what we believe to be something that's very, very heavy. In terms of its value, in terms of its substance, and that equals the quality of what we do. And obviously, we are in the charity series here at Roots in the 5 series, and we're going to be talking about the idea of giving and the idea of doing good and the idea of worshiping. And so we're going to try to bring in the concept of quality in our worship and in our giving, in our salah, in everything that we do. Because oftentimes we overlook that and we go towards how much, right? We always think in terms of how much, and ask yourself this question, right? How many times when we ever describe anything that we do in our lives, whether it's like an event, whether it is a gathering, whether it's a task, whatever it is, oftentimes the reality is that we refer to the questions or feedback after it. We ask, how much did we get? Or how many people came, or how much were you able to do? We never ask ourselves, how did it go, right? How well were we able to execute? And so in the conversation of today, the episode 4 that we're going to be talking about, quality over quantity, we're going to be talking about the concept of giving quality rather than quantity. And this is going to really bring about this understanding of what does it mean to give from consistency, from quality, from things that you love, that means a lot rather than giving, you know, in terms of just the monetary value or how much you give, right? And so the first question that we want to ask everybody is, in your opinion, I'm going to kind of pause here for a second. What is your definition of the difference between quality and quantity? If you could type it out and tell us and share with us and reflect with us, what is the difference between quality and quantity to you? What would it be? How would you define the difference between quality and quantity? In my opinion, the idea of quantity is important, right? How much or how many is definitely a legitimate question to ask. But one thing that I will say is that quality will fill a void that quantity can never fill. Okay. And I'll give you a very, very prime example. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first started his journey as a prophet, okay, in the city of Mecca, when there were literally no Muslims, and he was the only one who believed in La ilaha illallah in the beginning, who did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam go to? Who were the early Muslims? And I'll tell you a couple of the names: Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. These are the people who accepted Islam in the early going. Now, if you were to kind of do some math and quantitatively kind of sit down and say how many people accepted Islam the first like few months of the Prophet's message, you would barely have like 5 to 10 people. Like, there weren't that many people at all. But would you ever say that a person like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is missing in quality? I myself personally would have one Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, then 100 other people who were much less quality than him. And so the reality of Islam is that we focus more on the quality than the quantity itself. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. So Allah says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ, that you have not been had been commanded to do anything except to worship Allah alone. Okay, they were only commanded to worship Allah. مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, that you are told to be sincere in religion. And today we're also going to be talking a little bit about how quality and sincerity are almost tied hand in hand, okay? That quality and sincerity are two principles, two beliefs, or two values that we in Islam believe are complementary. That when you believe in quality, your sincerity almost goes up. When you believe in quality, your sincerity goes up. Only when you believe in sincerity, your quality goes up. And so Allah says, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. So Allah says in the Quran that when it comes to this deen, anything that you do has to have a level of quality over every other part in your life. Okay, for example, I'll give you guys an example. When you go to school, right, when you go to school, there may be moments in your wanting to go to school that will involve multiple intentions. So what are some of the intentions of why people go to school? I'll actually pause here, okay? So list out to me right now on Instagram or Facebook, what is a reason why people go to school? Give me reasons. Why do people go to school? And I'll wait here for a second, and I can wait here, and y'all can kind of chime in a little bit on what your opinions are on why people go to school, whether you go to high school or college or post-grad or whatever it may be. Why do people go to school? What are some of the intentions of why people go to school? Okay, I'll wait here for people. I'll wait for y'all to answer. Let's see if anyone can share. Self-gratitude, okay. To learn, okay. Very kind of, you know, it's pretty much the default, right? The obvious. What else? What's another intention of going to school? Okay, because they're forced. Right? Some people go because their parents want them to go to school to get a certain degree. Finances. Okay. Very good. What's another reason why people go to school? There are a plethora of reasons why people go to school, by the way. Some people go to school. Why? Does everybody who goes into a college have their degree in mind already? What do they sometimes want to do by going to school? They want to learn, understand, and grow. Very good. Some people may actually go to school because they want to discover their passion. For example, when I went into my undergrad, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I had no idea what I wanted to do, right? I just went because, like, you know, 4 years degree is something that everyone kind of seems like they do. And so I might as well go as well. It was only until near the tail end of my freshman year of my undergrad when I actually declared my major and started working towards it. But before then, I didn't know. So a part of my intention of going to school was wanting to discover what my passion was, okay? To be disciplined, very good. Another good example, to be disciplined, to kind of fall in some sort of system of discipline when it comes to learning and getting educated, very good. Impressing others around you, okay? Well, you know, that's still an intention, I guess, right? You know, you want to make people feel that you're a person who's focused, that you have a goal, you have an objective in life, and you have this discipline that you want to get this degree, right? Another example of why people go to school, maybe also because they want to increase their socializing. Right? I want to meet new people. I want to meet a new group of friends. The people I knew in high school are not really the same as me anymore, so I want to get to know some people in college, right? These are all reasons why people go to school. But when, and Allah says that's okay. Allah says that's okay. For example, why do you go to work? Why do people work? Some people go to work because they genuinely love their career. It doesn't matter if they get paid or not, they would do it regardless. Some people love going to work because it's just something that they know that it's going to put food on the plate, on the table for their families. That's why they go to work. Some people go to work because they just have to. They have to go to work, right? Some people go to work because it's a stepping stone towards a career that they actually want to go towards, right? So these are multiple reasons why people go to work. And in Islam, there's nothing wrong with it. In Islam, there's nothing wrong with going to work because you genuinely love your job. We believe that it's honorable to go to work because you're providing for your family, but there's nothing wrong in generally loving your career. That's something that people who go to work actually feel. They love their career. That's what they like doing, what they do. And there's nothing wrong with that. But Allah says in the Quran, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. When it comes to this religion, you have to have a very, very clear-cut intention. It cannot be you know, twofold. They cannot be multiple things. The number one priority of why we believe what we believe in and why we do what we do in our religion is because of Allah. That's it. And I've explained this before. When it comes to fasting, for example, we have a very, very big misunderstanding of what our answer should be when it comes to fasting. Why are you fasting? A lot of people say, oh, so we can feel what the poor people feel that do not have food like we do. Good, hey, good answer, no problem. Some people say that it's good for your health, right? I fast because, oh, it's something that's good for my health. It's a detox. My stomach needs it. We're so, you know, immersed in this gluttonous society that it's actually good to take a month and not eat from sunrise to sunset. That's another good answer. But what's the real reason why you fast? What's the real reason why you fast? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, so you may engage and gain this sense of taqwa, the sense of God consciousness. That is the reason why we fast. So when it comes to this religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَى. And so you are upright. Hunafa means somebody that's on the right path, on the truth. So you are مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. You are a sincere person to this religion. And on top of that, you're just on a right path. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. And you pray, you establish prayer. وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةَ. وَذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمَ. Okay, and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is the upright way, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ دِينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. And this is the religion that's upright and straight. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes to us what the importance of being sincere and really focusing in on the quality of our deeds is in Islam. So, and when we look at the life, I mentioned this, when we look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether you look at it from his early life or when he became a prophet or whatever it was, we all know this common narrative that the Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him, he really surrounded his mission by this idea of quality. This idea of quality. And I mentioned this before. The moments that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the early run, when he declared La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, very few people believed him. Very few people believed him. And if you think about it nowadays, right? I mean, we go out and we look, okay, I go to this fundraiser. Okay, how much money was raised? Or I go to this event. How many people came? I did this live stream. How many people joined in? I did that. How many people gave donations? We only worry about the quantity. If you ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many people believed you when you first said La ilaha illallah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say just a few, a handful. And even those few, the handful that believed in him, were actually people from like his family and his close friends. Again, Khadija radiallahu anha, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu an, Uthman ibn Affan, Zayd ibn Haritha, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. These are the people who accepted Islam in the early run. And that was it. There was no Umar ibn Khattab that early. There was no, Talha ibn Ubaidillah. There was no Salman al-Farisi. There was no Abu Huraira. There was no people like that in the beginning. They all came later, right? In the beginning, it was a few people. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mission actually focused in on those few people for the longest period of time. Only until later did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam start to gain quantity in his mission. Only until later, after he left Mecca, went to Medina, he started to really, really start making connections with people around the Arabian Peninsula, did Islam finally get to meet numbers. And you know what the scholars say that's really bone-chilling? Is that the moment that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that there were actually numbers of people accepting Islam, right? We actually talk about this in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. That there will be a day after the conquest of Mecca, you know, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. That there will be literally groups of people accepting Islam. You know what the scholars, they said about that? That when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to witness multiple groups of people accepting Islam, it was a sign that his life was about to come to an end soon. That when quantity was being introduced to Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that his message, his mission was about to come to a close. He had done it. The quality is what mattered in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's message. You think about it. Islam now, quantitatively, is a much bigger religion than it was when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive, Islam was small relatively to what it is today. Nowadays, you have like 1.52 billion Muslims in the world. You go to a Jummah prayer and there's never a Jummah prayer that's not packed. You go to the Masjid during the month of Ramadan and the month of Ramadan is packed with Muslims. You go to Eid Salah and a place like Dallas, Texas has like 40 different Eid Salah in the city itself. There are literally numbers and numbers and flocks of Muslims around everywhere now. When the Prophet ﷺ was alive, there were not these groups. But the Prophet ﷺ, he had that we struggle with now is the quality. Is the quality. The few that he had were qualitatively amazing versus the quantities that we have nowadays. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he focused on. And so he says in his own narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says in a beautiful, beautiful hadith that was narrated from his life, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, أَكْلَفُ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ مَا تُطِيقُونَ فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الْعَمَلِ أَدْوَمُهُ وَإِنْ قَلَّ. He says, take up good deeds only as much as you are able to. Take up good deeds only as much as you are able to. For the best deeds are those that are done consistently or regularly, even if they are few in number. This is authentic hadith from the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Take up good deeds. Do good deeds. Be a person who does good in their life. Only as much as you are able to do. Only as much as you are able to do. For the best of the deeds. For the best of the deeds. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الْعَمَلِ. The best of deeds are those that are done regularly, even if they are small in number. So what are the lessons that we can take away from this narration, this short narration? One of the lessons is that the Prophet ﷺ wants to tell us, do good deeds as much as you can to your potential. Because everybody's potential is different. When it comes to giving charity, for example, we're talking about the charity series this month, right? When giving in charity, everyone's potential or capability in giving charity will be different. And I'm sure every single person here that's on this live stream right now has witnessed a moment in their life where they have witnessed somebody who has been able to give more than they can, right? Like you're stuck at a fundraiser and the fundraising speaker, he's like going around, mashallah, doing his little thing. And he's like, who wants to give $5,000 fi sabilillah? May Allah give you a house in paradise and your family houses in paradise and all these different things. And a person next to you raises their hand for $5,000. And you're sitting here, you're like this broke college student. You're like, I barely got like Taco Bell money. Like I can barely like afford like a Sonic Blast. Like I don't even know like how much I can even give to charity, right? I can only give a little bit. What is my money versus a $5,000 donation? If I raise my hand now to give like 20 bucks, I'll look like a chump. I'll look like this like poor, like insignificant, useless person next to this person who just gave $5,000. What will my money do? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, never, ever, ever think that your potential is the same as somebody else's. Everyone's potential is different. And this is why the beginning of this narration, the Prophet says, take up good deeds only as much as you are able to, because everyone's ability will be different. Somebody who's been given the ability to do more, they have responsibility to do more. If a person has been given the ability to do less, their responsibility is not to do as much as a person who's been given more of an ability to do so. Now, does that mean that everyone who's been given the ability to do more actually does more? No. There are actually some people in this life that actually do more even if they're able to do less. I know people who, mashallah, are more generous, who make less money than people who are actually richer than they are. They will raise their hand and give more money because they just have that innate ability to do goodness within them. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's saying that everyone's ability is different. So that's number one. Okay. So the number one way that shaitan can actually get to you is to make you feel insignificant compared to somebody else. That if somebody else gives like $5,000 and you can only give like 20, shaitan's goal at that moment is to make you feel bad about the amount that you've given. Shaitan says, really? Really, man? Like that dude just raised his hand for $5,000. You're going to sit here and raise your hand for five? Like what's $5? What's $5? What's that going to do to anybody? You know, I have a really, really amazing, amazing memory in my mind from last year. There was this sister who came to a lot of our youth programming here at Roots. And so obviously this is one of the programs that we offer here at Roots. But last year before COVID, everything was in person. Now, we still have some stuff that's in person now, but, you know, half of it at least right now is online. And I remember after one of our youth programs, I had a young woman come up to me. She was like 17 years old. And she came up to me and she, after the class was over, and she asked me, and Roots, for all of you who do not know, Roots functions off of a sustainership model, meaning that like we do our programs majority for free, right? Like the five series right now for y'all to listen and benefit from this series or this class is free. I'm not charging anybody anything. So what we believe is that, alhamdulillah, since we do work that's for the sake of Allah and we do it with a clean intention, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us with that clean intention, that our community will understand that like, it's just a responsibility of the community to sustain our programming, right? And so a lot of people that sustain programming are like people who make money themselves, right? So people who are young professionals or people who, mashallah, have degrees and they can afford to do it or whatever. I had this young woman come up to me after a youth program. She was 17 years old, right? 17 years old. She's like barely like a junior in high school. And she comes up to me and she says, she goes, Seth, I would like to become a sustainer here at Roots. She's like, I would like to become a sustainer here at Roots. And I was so pleasantly surprised, right? Because you never expect like a high school student to say, I want to give a monthly sustainership to a program or an organization. And so I said, okay, that's amazing. Like that's so awesome. Like it honestly made my day. And so she said, I have one problem though. I said, what's the problem? Like, you know, this is an awesome initiative. This is a really, really humble thing to do. And she said, well, I can only offer to give $5 a month. She says, I can only offer to give $5 a month. I can't give like 50 or 100 or 200 like a lot of people do for Roots. I can't give $100 a month. I don't make enough money. I can only give $5 a month. I'm 17 years old. And I told her, I said, I'm going to go home today from this class and I'm going to make dua that Allah makes your $5 a month more rewarded than if a person gave $1,000 a month to this organization. That if you give $5 a month to this organization and you do it with a clean heart and a beautiful intention, I'm going to go home and make dua, ya Allah, accept this person's $5 a month in a form of like $5,000 a month. Why? Because you're doing it out of the most beautiful intention that I've ever seen in my life. You're not worried about, you know, the person who's looking at you giving $5 a month. You're not worried that you only make like $20 or $50 a month. Imagine if you, a high school student who's like 17 makes $50 a month and she gives $5 of that 50, she's giving 10% of her wealth towards an organization, fi sabilillah. Like how amazing is that? You know, that is when you focus on the quality versus the quantity. You're not worried, man. You're not like, oh, wow, $5, what's that? This person said, I want to give, but I can only afford $5. May Allah make her $5 so valuable that it's, in terms of barakah, it's worth more than $5,000 a month, right? So this is what we believe in quality. That's number one. Number two, the second lesson that we can take away from this hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is trying to teach us to do good deeds consistently. Being constant is the key in Islam. It's found in almost every fundamental form of worship. If you look at it, consistency is the backbone of our worship in this religion. Whether it comes to salah, where you're praying five times a day, and a lot of people ask the question, why is salah the way it is? And we talked about this in the previous series, in the prayer series in the month of October. Why is salah the way it is? You think about it, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, these five prayers that we pray in a day obligatorily, these prayers are expanded throughout the entirety of a day, starting from before the sun rises to when the sun passes its zenith, to the afternoon, to the when the sun officially sets, and in the nighttime. It spans the entire day. Why? Because your prayer is supposed to be done consistently. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fast on Mondays and Thursdays? Of course, it was the time in which he received revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was also, you know, narrated that it was the day that he was born on a Monday. But why did the Prophet fast on Mondays and Thursdays? Because it was consistent. He didn't fast every single day of the week. His sunnah was to fast on Mondays and Thursdays. And so he fasted on Mondays and Thursdays because it was consistent. why did the Prophet ﷺ tell us that fast, or why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it obligatory for us to fast during the month of Ramadan, an entire 30 days every single year? Because it's consistent. Why do we have to make wudu before we pray salah? Number one, it's a form of worship. And number two, it's consistent. Everything that we do when it comes to worship, it's consistency. When it comes to reading Quran, are you supposed to read Quran like once every 4 months and just like read like 10 pages and leave for the next 4 months? No. You should rather read like 3 lines a day versus reading like 10 pages once every 5 months. Why? Because that consistency is what hits the heart. Imagine every relationship you have in your life. Every relationship you have in your life. What are the ones that we hold really dear to us? The people that talk to us once every like 6 months, or the people that try to talk to us every single week or every single day, even if it's for like 1 minute? Hey, I'm on my way home from work. Just want to leave this voicemail for you because I care about you, thinking about you. I hope you're having a good day. Inshallah, hope you're doing well. Let me know if you need anything, and reach out to me on text or whatever, and I'll talk to you later. Simple. 20-second voicemail, 5-second audio note, just a sentence on a text message. But it means so much because it's done consistently. Consistency is the key when it comes to building relationships, and consistency is the key when you want to beautify the quality of your worship. That's number two. And number three is sometimes these deeds will look small to society. When you do good deeds, sometimes these deeds will look small to society. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, do those good deeds regularly, even if they are few in number. So the Prophet knows that sometimes good deeds that are done consistently may be looked at as small to society. That when a person looks at it, they're like, wow, what a tiny thing that person did. Is that even that big of a deal? It is a big deal because you did it with the best of intentions. So the Prophet ﷺ even mentions that smiling in the face of your brother is even considered a charity. Smiling in the face of your brother is even considered a form of charity, right? There was actually a beautiful narration from the life of the Prophet ﷺ where a poor immigrant person came to him one day and he asked him to provide him with something. Okay, so this poor immigrant, he comes to the Prophet ﷺ. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I ask you to provide me with something that I can use to nourish myself. And however, that day the Prophet ﷺ neither had food nor money. And by the way, the Prophet ﷺ, he never had money. That's one thing I want every single person to remember about the Prophet. The Prophet ﷺ never had money. He never was a person who used to carry like stacks on stacks in his pocket. He never had money in the bank. The Prophet ﷺ, actually, there was narrations that the Prophet that one of his wives, she would say that if he left the home in the morning and he left certain amount of money on his bed that day, he would actually be upset if that money was still there when he came back, because he wanted that money to be distributed. That's the type of person that he was. He didn't want like money just to stay. Like, we in this society, because of like the ideas of saving and investing and buying and selling and, you know, consumerism and capitalism and all these different isms, we get so obsessed with saving and keeping money and hoarding it. And we give ourselves excuses like, why do you need that much money? Because I want to keep it and save it. Why do you need that much money? Because I want to invest it. Why do you need that much money? Because I want to save it until I'm older. We have all these excuses, but the reality is that we love money. We love it. The Prophet ﷺ never loved money like that. He never really had this obsession with collecting money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Al-haakum al-takathur hatta zultum al-maqabir. He gives a warning, Al-haakum al-takathur. Those of you who like try to like compete in gaining money, hatta zultum al-maqabir, you will realize once you reach the grave that money isn't going to go with you. That money is not going to stay with you. When you go to the grave, there's nothing of that money that actually benefits you besides the good that you've done with it, right? And so there was this moment, this man came to the Prophet, and the Prophet had no money or food. And he said, the Prophet, he said, I have nothing to give to you right now. Go and buy what you need in my name and I will pay your debt. He said, I have no money today, but go and buy whatever you need in my name and tell the owner of whatever you bought from, tell them that I bought it for you and I will pay that person for you when I have the money. And so this man, he went and he bought something and he said, Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is buying this in my name. So give him the bill, right? Almost like, can you imagine like giving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam your tab? Be like, hey, Ya Rasulullah, can you pick this up for me? And so one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became really upset. He said, Ya Rasulullah, you're overexerting yourself. You're overextending yourself. And one of them stood up
and said, oh, Ya Rasulullah, this person has come two or three times before and he asked something from you and you always give to him. Now you have nothing to give. Allah does not lay a burden on you that you cannot cope with, Ya Rasulullah. Like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Why would you give something that you can't give? And so the Prophet, he got really upset at this. And another companion stood up and he said, oh, Ya Rasulullah, give as much as you wish. Give as much as you wish. Don't even worry about it. Give as much as you wish. Do not fear that Allah will ever make you poor. Don't ever fear that Allah will ever make you poor. Give whatever you want to, Ya Rasulullah. Because the more you give, the more Allah will actually extend you in wealth. That's what we believe in Islam. We don't believe that when a person gives, they become poorer. We believe that when a person gives, they actually become more wealthy. Physically, what you think is that, like, oh, if I give $10, I'm now at a $10 deficit. But in Islam, spiritually, you believe that when you give $10, Allah has actually given you more. Allah has actually given you more. It's incredible, right? And so a smile spread across the face of the Prophet ﷺ, and he says, this is what I have been commanded to do. And the Prophet ﷺ, he actually adds in another narration, he says, اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرات. He says, save yourself from the hellfire, okay? He says, اتقوا النار. Fear the hellfire. Save yourself from the hellfire. ولو بشق تمرات. Even if it's by giving half of a date in charity. Save yourself from hellfire, even if it's like giving half of a date in charity. This narration is really short, but it's really beautiful because the Prophet ﷺ, he teaches us actually a couple of points here. He says, save yourself from hellfire. This hadith appeals to the nature of how mankind will be trying to stay away from hellfire no matter what they can do. Like, it was like you crawling away from it, right? Like, human beings will realize if we knew exactly what the hellfire was like, we would be like crawling away from it with any energy that we have. And the second thing is that the Prophet ﷺ encourages us that any good deed is still a good deed. Even if it means something small and minuscule in the eyes of other people, it may weigh heavy on your scales on the day of judgment. That don't worry about what you think like a lot is. A lot actually may be a little in reality, but because of the intention and the quality behind it, it's something that will weigh heavy on the scale of good deeds on the day of judgment. And so let's go through a couple of tips that we want to leave everybody with today. Number one, reevaluate our understanding of what has true quality and substance. We have to really redirect our narrative on what quality really is. Nowadays, unfortunately, our generation is plagued with this idea that what's meaningful is likes, what's meaningful is followers, what's meaningful is like that blue check mark next to your Instagram and TikTok accounts, that if you're verified, like, you made it because 80,000 people follow you, 50,000 people follow you, 1 million people follow you, you have 400,000 views on your TikTok video, you have 50,000 likes on your video, that's what makes you like quality. I could have like wrapped something that is like absolute garbage and given it to people, and because somebody finds it funny, you could get like 1 million views. Does that mean that's actually heavy with quality? No. Look at the Prophet ﷺ, the most quality heavy person in the history of mankind. The first 5 years of his prophethood, how many followers did he have? 50? Barely? Double digits? That's it. How many people followed this man? Very few. When the Prophet used to pray in the city of Mecca in the beginning of Islam, how many people prayed behind him? 4, 5, 3, 6 at times? That's it. No more than that. Now we look at it, right? Like, we go into a masjid and we see like 5 people praying and we're like, whoa, man, like, what kind of a masjid is this, right? Like, no one comes here ever. We go to like a program and 3 people are sitting in class and we say, wow, what a failure of a program, right? Like, only 3 people went to that class. Oh, look at that other program. Got like 100 people at it. People are chilling, vibing. Like, everyone's feeling good. 100 people. It's packed, man. Like, the vibe is amazing. And you go to this other program, there's like 3 people there. How do you know that the quality of that 3-person class is not better than the quality of that 100-person class? How do you know that? How do you know that when a person gives $2, that person does not get rewarded more than a person who gave $100 because that $2 was much harder to give? We got to really redirect our narrative of what we feel is quality heavy. We got to really, really redirect that thought. We too often nowadays think that just because more people attend something, that is better. Nowadays, we look at like, oh, the more money that thing has, it's better. The bigger the masjid is, it's better. the bigger the facility is better. Oh my God, that facility costs like $3 million to make, man. We want to be the biggest of this in North America. And we look at that and we're like, wow, it's amazing. When in reality, that thing does not have a soul inside of it. But a place, that a class or a program that has like three people at it, it's filled with barakah, filled with beauty. And Allah has blessed that thing with beautiful, beautiful, beautiful gifts, beautiful blessings. And people bypass it because they, oh, it's three people only. Who cares, right? We got to really rewrite the narrative of what quality and sincerity is. That's number one. Number two is do not compare your giving to the giving of other people. Allah has given different people ways of giving and being charitable. Do not compare your giving to other people. This is the number one way shaitan manipulates human beings, is by belittling them. And this is why, by the way, not only shaitan, if you are a person who tends to belittle people for their good deeds, be very careful. Be very, very careful. Allah says in the Quran, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي, the people who are deniers of this religion, who are deniers of the Day of Judgment, فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. They reject the orphans, وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. And they discourage the giving to the poor. They discourage the feeding of the poor. They ridicule when people give money. They ridicule when people give charity. Don't be a person who ridicules even the smallest amount of donations. You feel good one day that you gave $1,000, make dua for the one who gave five. Make dua that Allah rewards the person who gave $5 even more than what you gave. Because the small amount of money may even be more beautiful than the amount of money that you gave. Do not belittle other people for giving smaller. Number three and the last thing is, ask Allah to accept your small deeds. Even if those deeds may look small, it may be the deed that weighs so heavy on the Day of Judgment that it's the one that tips the scale in your favor towards paradise. We may look at it as like, oh, I just smiled and said salam to somebody. What if you smiled in the face of a brother who was having such a difficult day that he was thinking that this life wasn't worth it? But because your smile and you saying salamu alaykum, how are you? I've missed you. I care about you. How have you been? What if that small five second dialogue saved a human being's life? Look at perspective. Look at the perspective. This is why the Prophet ﷺ spent time with people. He was not only charitable with his money, he was charitable with his time. He was charitable with his energy. He was charitable with his resources. That was who he was, ﷺ. You never know the small deed that you did. The small deed that you did. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ. That small act of kindness, the small act of goodness that will tip your scale so heavy because it's so filled with sincerity, it's so filled with quality that it leads you into paradise versus a grandiose thing that you did that seemed very big and elaborate. That small deed that you did is the one that actually got you into paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you and I those beautiful moments in sincerity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you and I that beautiful vision and perspective of what really matters, quality in our belief, quality in our worship. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Wa nashadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you guys so much for attending today. We appreciate you all very much. And that is the final episode of the week for the five series, the charity series. And we will see you guys, inshallah ta'ala, next Monday again for the continuation of the five series. Again, always drop a dua for your community here at Roots, for the teachers here, for the volunteers, for the members, for the attendees, for their families, for everybody. Drop a dua for us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you guys. And we'll see you guys next time. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.